And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And then Revelation chapter 9, reading from verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Shall we pray? Thou God, and Father, in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, we humbly and reverently approach thy throne of grace. Our Father, we just ask that you would just hide me behind the cross, that you would just bring to my memory all that I have prepared, and that you would lead, and that souls would be blessed. And if there's anyone here who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'd like to thank you all for your continued prayers for Winston II. He's still up at school. He's not taking classes this semester because of the fact that all, you know, everything is online, and he's still in his apartment on campus, but. He chose, and I think very wisely, not to do the online courses, because it's truly not the same. And I think we should pray for all of our young people who are in school at this time, whether they're in primary school, whether they're in secondary school or college, because these are unique times, and they are having to experience and endure things that are very uncharacteristic for young people and students. I thought it was very interesting how when you read the Bible, it's God's love letter to us. And even when you come to the book of Revelation, and even when you're in the tribulation, it's amazing how much God loves his creation. It really is. What I also noticed that was very interesting is that when we read about the seventh seal, we know that there are the three series of judgments, and the first series of judgments are the seals, and when you come to the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And it's also interesting to note that the seventh seal is not mentioned in chapter 7, which would follow chapter 6, because the sixth seal is discussed in chapter 6. But then you have the discussion shifting or the vision of John shifting in chapter 7, and then the seventh seal is opened in chapter 8. And there's an intervening event that occurs between chapter 6 and 7. And this intervening event is quite interesting. And what's very interesting about chapter 6 and verse 17, as it talks about the sixth seal, is that they're the shift, if you will, in the stage of the tribulation. In other words, we start to move from the tribulation to the great tribulation. So what I mean by that is, if you look at Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17, what it says is, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? The great day is really the fact that we are now in the middle of the tribulation. And things are taking on a much different form. So 3.5 years of the tribulation have elapsed by this point. And now we're about to enter the great tribulation. So we know that when we think about the whole concept, if you will, of Revelations, the book of Revelation, and when we think about the fact that we're living in a day where there's a pandemic in the world. People are working from home. People are not working. Some people have been laid off. Some people are forced to do other things. Some people are going through a lot, whether monetarily or... But when the normal order of things are disrupted, it really causes you to think about life more. And the thing about it is that we know that at a certain point in time, we're going to be home with the Lord. Everybody has a day. And what we also know is that there's going to be a rapture of the church. And when the church is raptured, and we know that when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. However, for those who are left behind, for those who chose not to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, judgments will come to the world. And the good news for us as believers is that we won't be here. So that's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, God has got to deal with evil that's in the world. And God is coming to reclaim the earth and rid it of the evil that is here. And so the first series of judgments begins with the opening, if you will, of the seals in chapter 6. And I wanted to go through that somewhat quickly, but you have the first seal, white horse, the rider with a bow, but no arrow, with a crown. And what you really have is a depiction of the Antichrist. And then you have the second seal that's open. Red horse, the rider has a sword and is allowed to take peace from the earth. There'll be chaos in the world, murder and death at random. And then you have the third seal, a black horse. The rider holds out a set of scales, and there'll be economic ruin to the world order. And then you have a fourth seal that's opened, and then there's a pale horse that appears, and the rider is named Death and Hell, killing by sword and famine, plague and wild animals. And there'll be death to a quarter of the world's population, which, if the population is about 7.8 million now, that means about 200 billion people. Then you have the fifth seal, which is really a prayer meeting that goes on in heaven among those who were slaughtered for their faith during the tribulation period by the Antichrist, who wouldn't follow the Antichrist. And then now you have the sixth seal. And the sixth seal is very interesting because in chapter 6, in verses 12 through 17 of Revelation, it says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken by a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of Jesus." The Lamb is Jesus. "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now, you would think that if people know that they're under judgment, they say, "Lord, please forgive me, I'm yours. You know, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm all yours now, Lord." But they don't do that. Instead, what they do is they hide, and they really want to die. And what's interesting is that when the sixth seal is open, these people are experiencing, the remaining people on earth are experiencing cosmic disturbances. They're experiencing nature that's out of alignment. They're experiencing mountains that are crashing into one another. They're experiencing volcanoes that are flaring up randomly everywhere. They're experiencing earthquakes that create ash that blocks out the sunlight so that people can't even see. People are running everywhere in every direction with no purpose other than to hide from God. And you would think that people in that situation would cry out to God and say, "Have mercy on me." And they don't. And then what's interesting at the same particular instance is that it talks about in verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man." And that made me think about that. Every slave. You know, we live in a world where slavery still exists. You know, people don't realize that. Well, if they do, they don't think about it. I mean, you know, if you go to India, there are certain places where there's slavery. You go to China, there's slavery. You go to Pakistan, there's slavery. You go to Bangladesh, there's slavery. You go to Uzbekistan, there's slavery. You go to North Korea, there's slavery. There's slavery in Russia, Nigeria, Indonesia, and even Egypt. And the list is even a little longer because there's certain countries that actually force labor. They force people to work, which really is slavery. Well, what do we see here? We see that the people in the world at this point in time, the hearts of man are so hardened that they won't call out for salvation, but they'd rather commit suicide. You know? Because they say in verse 16, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. I want to die. Well, but what do we see? We see that if we were to shift to the very verse that I opened up with in chapter 8, we read in chapter 8, before the opening of the seventh seal, right? Let me read that for you again. Before the opening of the seventh seal, in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. So what God was saying to these unsaved people, these rebellious people, was, things are going to turn up here. It's going to get a little hot in the kitchen. So I'm going to give you a half hour to make a decision. It shouldn't take you more than that. Well, but before we get to chapter 8, though, we see in chapter 7, something happened. Because in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. This will be a sight to see. But for our sake, I'm glad we won't be here. But we'll be with the Lord. But for those left behind, you have four angels. And these four angels are going to hold back the wind during this time so it cannot continue to serve as a force of destruction and judgment on the earth until the servants of God are sealed. Well, the four corners represent north, south, east, and west. The winds present the image of judgment and disaster, and the four winds are really a metaphor for the entirety of the earth. The verse 2 of chapter 7 says that I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So God orders that all destruction that's occurring, cease until he seals 144,000 Jews. Verse 4 says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. There were sealed and 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. These 144,000 are the Jewish evangelists who will be God's witnesses during the tribulation. The sealing has to do with a sign of protection. That's what sealing is. It's a sign of ownership, God's protection. And sealing accomplishes perseverance of the faith. Now, you know, when you think about the Old Testament, in Isaiah 49 and verse 6, it says, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. So the prophet Isaiah had prophesied that the Jews would become the light to the world. A light for all the nations, so that people to the ends of the earth might be saved. The problem is that the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. And even now, during this current church age period, they failed to become the light of the world. But during the time of the tribulation, the Jews will become the light of the world. And who does that 144,000 consist of? Well, it tells us in verses 5 through 7 of the tribe of Judah, was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Gad was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Asher was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Nephilim was sealed 12,000. Manasseh 12,000. Simeon 12,000. Levi 12,000. Issachar 12,000. Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin 12,000 each. So these are the 144,000 evangelists who are going to proclaim the gospel during the tribulation period. And the 144,000 are equally divided among the 12 tribes of Israel. And then chapter 7 further says in verse 9, "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in the hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And isn't it interesting how, you know, in the 11th hour during the tribulation period, that people will be saved, that God will be gracious enough to allow people to be saved. And then it ends in verses 15 through 17. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the fountain of waters, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. So during this period, lives are still being saved. God is gracious and merciful. And that brings us to where we started. Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. So now what we have is the opening of the seventh seal. And what we have now is the unveiling of an entirely new series of judgments. And the new series of judgments is yet another display of the pouring out of God's disappointment with the fact that despite his enormous display of love and mercy and compassion, people refused to accept him. In verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. So earlier in Revelations, there were saints that were praying, and these prayers are the petitions of the martyrs from the tribulation, who cried out previously in Revelations for divine vengeance and justice, but they were told to wait. And the fact that they rise with sweet-smelling incense suggests it is a pleasing experience for God to receive the prayers of his people. And verse 4 says, "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand, and the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the grass was burnt up." So hail and fire mingled with blood. This plague strikes not just one nation, but the whole earth. It destroys only one third of the earth's surface, but nonetheless, we see an example of what it's going to look like in California. Verse 8, "And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood." So a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea, that's a lot of water, became blood. You ever see the kind of damage that an oil spill or an environmental disaster causes? Like the one we had in Alaska about 25, 30 years ago. I mean, it destroys all the ecosystems, destroys all, yeah. But what's interesting is that this echoes the first of God's plagues against Egypt when Moses plunged his staff into the Nile River and made its waters turn to blood. As a result, the fish died, the water smelled, and it could no longer be used for drinking. The seas no longer provided economic resources, destroying a third of the fish and trading vessels. And verse 9, "And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed." There will be destruction to a third of the earth. Verse 10, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the earth." Well, I'm sorry, it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. Here a star falls like a flaming meteor. It falls to the earth in the waters inland. It's poisoning the streams and the rivers, killing many people. And then verse 11, "And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." Wormwood is a biblical catchphrase for the consequences of sin in the ruining all of life. God spoke this way to Jeremiah about the spiritual consequences of runaway sin. "I will feed this people with bitter food and give them poisonous water to drink." Jeremiah 9 and 15. Verse 12, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." So the fourth trumpet speaks of judgment in the sky. And that brings darkness on earth to the point that there is almost no longer day and night as we know it. There will be mainly darkness. Verse 13, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven with a loud voice saying, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." So you think it's hot in the kitchen now. The fire's going to turn up even more. Chapter 9, we'll just deal with the fifth angel. Chapter 9 says, verse 1 says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He's turning up in the kitchen because this is a depiction of a star that's a hymn. This is a picture of Satan. And God has now given Satan the key to the bottomless pit. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, what's interesting is that evil operates within a certain sphere, a certain space. So the devil has authority within that space. That space being evil. So by God giving him the key to the bottomless pit, that's part of what is his sphere, his space. And so, but God controlled it. Because if we go back to Luke chapter 8, verse 30 or 31, somewhere in there, it talks about the fact that, that bottomless pit is a place where the demons live. So we know that when there was rebellion in heaven, a number of the fallen angels were locked up in that pit. Well, verse 2 of 9:2 says, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." So Satan unlocks it, the pit is open, and you have all the smoke that comes out, and the smoke literally removes all daylight. And verse 3 tells us, "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." So, you got to imagine this. Locusts, annoying locusts, with the power of a scorpion. "4. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass." Because locusts like to, mingle with all the vegetation. "Neither any green thing, neither any tree." They like the trees. "But only those men which have not the seal," right? The 144,000 "of God in their foreheads." So these locusts were different kinds of locusts. They were told to hurt the men without the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them, in verse 5 it says, "And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months." Locusts normally live 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. So these particular locusts were told not to kill mankind, but to torment them. But not those of mankind, the 144,000 with the seal of protection. Verse 6, "And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it." That's very interesting. It's going to be so bad with these locusts that men will want to die but can't die. Verse 7, "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, So these aren't little bugs, right? They were like unto horses, unto battle, and on their heads were crowns like gold. So notice now, it's not crowns of gold, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. So these locusts are in the shape of horses. They have crowns not of gold, but like gold, which means that they have some kind of authority. But who's that authority from? That same sphere, that same space which Satan controls. So they're given authority from hell. And they have faces of men. But then in verse 8 it says, and they had hair as a hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. So hair like a woman, teeth like a lion. And then it gets even worse, because verse 9 tells us, and they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sounds of their wings was the sound of chariots as many horses running into battle. So they're going to make all kinds of noises. They're going to torment mankind. And this is going to go on for 5 months. And you won't be able to hurt them because of these breastplates. And the last verses, it says in verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue have the name Apollyon. Satan is their king. So verse 12 tells us, I'm going to stop here. Woe, one woe is past. So you can imagine the two woes that are about to come. The thing about it is that if you're here, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus loves you. And God does not want to in any way destroy you. He doesn't want you to go through this. But if you don't accept his son as your personal Lord and Savior, if you don't develop that personal relationship with him, then these will be the consequences. Because it comes a point in time when God is going to reclaim the earth. And it's going to rid it of the evil. Right now is the day of man. And but one day soon, he's going to return. And very serious consequences. But it's a beautiful thing to look at God's word beautiful thing that, you know, my father-in-law used to always say, Lord, we want to thank you for being in the land of the living, you know. And I never appreciated it when he would say it back then, but I understand now. Because as you get older, you know, you realize that every day is a gift. Every day is a gift from God. And which I'm grateful. And if you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I tell you, God will bless you. I'll bless you beyond belief. A lot of times people don't tell all the things that God has done to bless them. But I can tell you that God has has blessed me more than I can say. So we thank God for the reading and hearing of his word for his namesake. And I thank you for your attention. And I'll close off in prayer. So God, my Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to look at thy word. And our Father, we want to thank you for the truth of thy word. We want to thank you for the exposure. We want to thank you for the revelation of thy word. And our Father, we thank you for touching us and for saving us so that we won't endure what many people in this world will one day endure during the period of Revelation chapter 6 and beyond. And our Father, we would just ask that for those who don't know you as your personal Lord and Savior, those who are here, those who are being resistant, that you would touch them, touch their hearts, give them no peace, no rest until they come to know whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Thank our brother for that word, a very, very serious word. You know, God is